This evening we have the last few words Matthew records us of Jesus for us before he went back to heaven in Matthew chapter 28 and starting at verse 16. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.
Well, good evening to you. It is a great, great pleasure for me to be here this evening. See, lots of faces I recognise, but some I don't. So let me just tell you who I am. My name is Elaine Youngman, and as I say that, perhaps that rings some bells with you. Perhaps you know Mary and Keith, who come to this church. Well, they are my in-laws. And I used to come to this church. I was a member here for a number of years before this church sent me to train as a minister. And they didn't send me very far. I only went to Hoddesdon, which is just down the road. And it's always been one of my hopes and dreams that I would be able to visit a church and say, I bring you blessings from Hoddesdon. So tonight, I bring you blessings and greetings from Hoddesdon Baptist Church. But it is so good to be here to see you all and to be able to share this word with you tonight. Just to give you an update on how things are going very quickly, church is fantastic. Love being at Hoddesdon Baptist Church. They're such tremendous people. And just really enjoying being part of that family there and being able to minister to them and help them to understand who God is. It's such an exciting time to be at Hoddesdon. Things are changing there, and it's really great. My studies are going really well. As part of my training, I have to do some kind of course. So I go to Spurgeon's Bible College, and I'm doing a Master's in Theology, which sounds very grand, and it's surprising even me that I'm managing to study at a Master's level. But I'm really, really enjoying it. I do really love it and value just the great teaching that I get there. For those of you who know, I'm married to Rich, who is Mary and Keith's son, and Rich is having some changes as well. Some of you who know about Young Life will be discovering soon that Rich is changing his job. He won't be working for Young Life for very much longer, just 4 more weeks he's got there before he becomes a civil servant. So quite a career change for him, but he's really looking forward to that. So it sounds like things are going great, and they really are. But I'm among friends here, so I can tell you that the last 3 months have been rubbish. So about 3 months ago, my dad had a heart attack, completely unexpected. And for 6 weeks, no longer than that, 7 weeks, he was in hospital. And he had to have bypass surgery, which was a complete shock to us all. And nearly everything that could go wrong with that operation did. So for 7 weeks, I was backwards and forwards to Basildon, which is quite a way away, just to spend a little bit of time for my dad. And to be honest, that time was just consumed with trying to do so much for my dad and so much for my mum and trying to be with my sisters. And it was completely exhausting, not to mention the emotional stress that was. So 4 weeks ago, I got really sick and I had a virus that attacked my eye. And that was really very painful and very concerning. And I'm still living with some of the effects from that. But through all of that stress and that anguish, all that disruption, all that time that I couldn't serve my church, or I couldn't focus on my studies, I clung to one promise, and that's that God is with me. So I share that with you because I can testify that God is with me. I can tell you tonight, God is with us. One of the things I get to study at Spurgeon's is Baptist history. And my tutor in that is a guy called Graham. And the thing that Graham has taught me most in my Baptist history unit is not about the great Baptists of the past, but he introduced me to a theologian called Sam Wells. And Sam is an Anglican vicar, and he has written a book called Nazareth Manifesto. And I would recommend it to you, because it's all about the fact that God is with us. And I read that book back in November, and I have to say that it has resonated with me so much that almost every sermon I've preached since reading that book is God is with us. So the fact that I'm here tonight to share this is just God's providence. Because this is a message that is so close to my heart right now. God is with us. So Sam Wells proposes that with, that one word, with, is the most important concept in theology. In all studies about God, he says that with is the most important word. And I have to agree with him, because in the last 3 months, I've known that that is the most important concept, that God is with us. Part of my work is going to visit people who are sick. This week I visited a lady, a dear friend of mine, who is very sick. And I didn't go in to see her and tell her about the great theological debates. I went in and I said to her, God is with you. It's what we cling to. So I do think that with is probably one of the most crucial words in the Bible. In John 1, verses 1 to 3, we hear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Before anything else, there was a with. When God created, he created the heavens and the earth, he created the animals and he created man, and he walked with them. The Israelites, they rebelled. And when they were displaced and they were wandering in the desert, God went ahead of them as a pillar of fire and of cloud. God was with them. When God was speaking to his people, he used prophets, and he said through Isaiah, do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. In Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then Jesus came. And we read in Matthew 1, verse 23, that Jesus was to be called Emmanuel. God is with us. John 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. Jesus lived with us. And that passage that we've had read to us this evening, Matthew 28, verse 20. Right at the very end of Jesus' ministry, he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I wonder if you hear what Jesus is saying there. He's saying that never will there be a time when I am not with you. I will never not be with you. I will always be with you. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes, anoints the people, and remains with them. And right at the end of the Bible, in the very last chapter, in chapter 21 of Revelation, we read about our destiny and God's, the future. And it says this: the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I have picked out very, very few Bible verses and very, very few concepts there, but at the heart of all of that is that God is with us. From the very beginning to the very end, God is with. So we're starting this series, or you're starting, I sadly won't be getting to have the whole series with you, but you're starting this series on God's promises. And what we have to remember about God's promises is that they are not like human promises. Human promises fail. We don't always live up to our promises that we make. Human promises are said in the heat of the moment and can't always be fulfilled. But God promises. And God's promises are different. Because God is faithful. So we can be sure in God. We can be confident in his promises. So here is God's promise for you. Very simple. God is with us. But let me unpack that. So first of all, we've got the word God. There we go. God. God! He's so hard to define. He's so hard to describe. We can use a lot of words about God. We can say he's faithful. He is loving. He is kind. He is judge. He is our creator. He is our father. We can use all of these words to describe God, but actually they are so limited. They do not describe the whole incredible being of God. But I think that God's nature, who God is expressed by those three words that follow God. God, his nature is that he is with us. And everything about God points towards that. So let's consider is for a moment. Because it's really easy to forget that the gospel is about now. Because we can look at scripture and see that God has acted. And we live now in the hope of what God is to come, of the fulfillment of God's kingdom in the future. So surely God has acted, and surely he will fulfill. But God is. God is here. God is now. God is present. So the fact that God is means that Jesus, when he came, and Jesus, when he died for us, are past events, but they mean something to us now. They didn't just happen once a long time ago. They continue to mean something for us and for the next generation and for each generation until he comes again. And the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and then he sent the Holy Spirit to us at Pentecost shows us that God is present here and now. He acted once, but he continues to act in the living Christ and the Holy Spirit. So God is now, here, present, reality now. Let's think about with for a minute. God's whole being is about with. The Trinity. That's a really, really hard concept to get your head around. I can't say that I've had my Trinity class yet. So it's pretty hard to define the Trinity. Many, many theologians have tried. And it's really hard because from our heads, we just can't get our heads around it. Which is where I think art comes in. Because art speaks to our heart. And with our heart, we can begin to understand the Trinity. This is a picture that I have in my office. It is by far and away my favourite picture. It's by an artist called Rublev. He was a Russian Orthodox painter of icons. And this one is based on a picture that he did of the three visitors to Abraham. But most people think that it conveys the Trinity. God. So God, the Father, is on the left, the Son is in the middle, and then the Spirit is on the right. And I can honestly talk about this picture for hours. There's so many metaphors in it. It just means so much. But let me point a few things out to you. What you see with these three figures is that they are all pointing towards one another. It speaks about relationship. They're not separated. There's nothing that divides them. They're all pointed towards each other. And in fact, if you were able to draw a circle around it, you'd see that it forms a perfect circle. They're all diverse. They're different, but there are similarities. There are things that tie them together. The fact that they all have blue somewhere on them is a sign of their divinity. There is no separation of these three figures. They are with one another. They are three, but they are connected by their oneness. And this picture to me just speaks of the fact that God is defined by his withness, by his relationship. But in this picture, you'll see that there's a space right at the very front. Which brings us to our last word. Us. There's a space at the front of this picture because we are invited into this relationship. So the fact that us is even part of this promise is complete and utter grace on God's part. God is with. It makes sense within itself. God is with, God is relationship within himself. Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, Trinity, makes sense. But the grace of God is shown in this, that the object of that sentence is us. You and me, us. God is with us, not just an internal relationship that God has, but it's external. He invites us into it. And the whole of history tells of that. God made the place to be with us in creation. And although our own sin disrupted God's being with us, he remained faithful to his people. And he covenanted with Israel and vowed to be with them, to be with their God, to be their God. In Jesus, God demonstrates his utter commitment to being with us. And in salvation, he restores our being with him. Church, is God being with us? And us being with each other? And more than that, the kingdom of God is what God is bringing about. It was inaugurated in Jesus and will find its fulfillment when the whole of creation is with one another and with God. So the whole of history, the present and the future, speak of this promise that God is with us. Does that not just utterly blow you away? How privileged am I that God is with me? In my pain, in my distress, in my fear, God is with me. In my joy, in my praise, in my blessing. God is with me. God is with us. How blessed are we as we gather to praise, as we bring our concerns and our grief and our fear and our repentance. God is with us. And how do we celebrate this? I think that we celebrate this by being with God. By being truly present with God. Not just saying that 2-minute prayer when you need to find a parking space. And I'll put my hands up, I've done that. That isn't being with God. Being with God is actually being present with Him. It's about not rushing in our desire to do things for God, but spending time to be with Him. It's about developing and nurturing a relationship with God who has literally moved heaven and earth to be with you. God is with us. But I hope what you really hear tonight is that this is not an exclusive club. God's promise is not just for the folk of Hartford or Hoddesdon Baptist Church. God's promise is not even for those who have been baptised. God's promise is for the whole of His creation. God's promise is for all people. God is with all people. His desire is that all would know that He is with them and that He wants to know them and have a relationship with them. That space at that table is for everyone. We started with that reading from Matthew 28. Let me remind you of what it says. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So from this, we can totally emphasize that Jesus' promise to the disciples and to us is that God is with us always. But the reality is, it comes in the context of Jesus telling His followers to go. And as you go, make disciples. Baptize them, teach them everything I have told you. And as we go, as we do that, God is with us. And how do we do that? I think we do that by being with people who don't know God. By being with them in their fear as they lie in a hospital bed. By being with those who are poor and cannot feed their families. Doing what we can. Doing more than we can, maybe. But even if there's nothing practical, being with them. By being with those who are grieving, even when there's nothing that can be said or done. By being with the refugee or the homeless person, even if we can't open our homes, doesn't mean that we walk by and ignore them. Because we can be with them. God, in His desire to be with us, acted. He did things. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't do things. We need to help. But I am saying that we also need to be with people. We know that God is with us. We can rely on that promise. We can stand on that promise because God is faithful. But most people in our neighbourhoods don't know that. And perhaps that knowledge starts with us, the people of God, being with them so that all may come to know and to understand and believe the promise that God is with us.